I did not come up with a better title than I had Wednesday night. And I just noticed the invitation song we have this morning actually pulls from our scripture reading that we have for this lesson. But that's not the song we're going to talk about. The song that I want to consider this morning is one that has known some controversy among brethren through the years. It is one of the first songs that I actually took a look at because of folks saying, I don't think we can sing that. I'm not sure that we can sing that song. And in talking with them, I understand where their concerns come from, but I'll say now, I've never had a problem with singing this song, but maybe I approach it differently than some folks do. The song I'm talking about is the song, Just As I Am. It's song number 330 in our songbooks, and we only have four of the six verses that the original poem has. And we'll talk about each of those as we go through, but through the years I have heard brethren talk about this song, and the point they make is, we don't come to Him just as we are. We have to be changed. And while there's a certain amount of that that I think we need to understand, we also understand that we come to Jesus to be changed. We don't come to Jesus because we're great. We come to Jesus because we're not great. And I think that's a point that sometimes we miss. I've got a lot of songs that I've got the background stories of the authors from. I don't always talk about them. I don't always mention them. But this one is worth mentioning because I think it gets across a little bit better the idea that was behind the original poem that this song came from. This song was written by Charlotte Elliott. She lived in the 1700s and 1800s in England. So you've probably never met her. But when she was about 30 years old, she was attacked by an illness, and I don't know what the illness was, but it left her an invalid. And she was in a lot of pain and suffering. And when she was about, she would have been probably close to, I'm not even going to try to do that math. In 1834, she was well into her adult years. And she was in pain and suffering, and she wrote the words that we now have as the poem, Just As I Am, and we have most of those in our songbook. But she wrote it for the purpose of selling or offering as a benefit to a girls' school. She didn't know it, but her sister-in-law found the paper with the poem written on it when she came in that night, and she sent it to a publisher. And about a year later, her doctor came to visit her, checking on her with her illness and such, and he handed her a leaflet that had some poems on it that he thought would comfort and help those who were in her condition. And she starts reading and recognizes her words. And I say that, it's published, she published in a later book, but I say that and tell that little bit about the author because it tells us the mindset. Here's someone who was suffering. Someone who, from what I understand from reading this, thought at one time she really wasn't useful for anything. That she was constantly having to deal with her illness and her sickness, and so she wasn't going to be anything but a burden on everyone. But when she started reflecting on what she had in Christ, she recognized that Jesus didn't care about all of the problems she had. He didn't care that she was sick and unable to go out and work and earn for herself. Or He didn't care that she had to have someone assist her and help her. And I think that's an important thing that we need to recognize from Christ. When I talk about this song, one of the things I point out, this song emphasizes the mercy and grace of God. Maybe a little bit more than we're sometimes comfortable with singing, but I think it's something that we need to be reminded of. And I think if we listen to the words, it also tells us that we have to submit to Jesus. It's not just coming to Him, but we have to come to Him on His terms. And so we want to talk a little bit this morning about the song, Just As I Am. As I mentioned, there are six verses in the original poem. We have four verses in our songbook. At least five of these verses I have sung at one time or another from various songbooks throughout my life. That's a lot of years and a lot of places. But I have sung at least five of these verses. One, I'm not real sure whether I sung it or not. But the first verse that we have in our books and the first verse of the song emphasizes the idea that Jesus is calling us. Think about that for a minute. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. The very first verse tells us that Jesus calls us. He doesn't come out and find us and grab us and take us to Him. He calls us. And when He calls us to come to Him. That means we've got to do something. So the song is not saying, I can just sit here doing like I've always done and I'm going to find help. The song says, I have to go to Christ because He calls me. But when I go to Christ, I can't go to Christ and say, Lord, I've been such a great person and I'm having so much trouble. Will You help me because I've been so great? No. We can't plead our case before the Lord because we're not worthy. I believe it was Jack this morning. I asked him how he was. He said, better than I deserve. And I thought, yeah, if we got what we deserved, none of us would be doing very well. The song acknowledges that the only thing that is there for us, the only thing that can help us, is that Christ shed His blood. We can come to Christ, we can come to God and say, God, Jesus shed His blood for me. And You called me to come to You, and so I have come. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 we read, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. God didn't save us because of what we have done. None of our deeds are sufficient, but His mercy sent His Son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. In order for us to find salvation, in order for us to take advantage of the blood of Christ, we must come to Christ. And what Christ has promised, what God has promised us, is if we come to Him and make Him our Lord, nobody can take us away from Him. Nothing can take us away from Him. He will not cast us out. John 6 and verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. If we come to Jesus and take advantage of His blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary by being obedient to His will, Jesus will never let us go. Now, that doesn't mean we can't let go and walk away. We've got plenty of scriptures that point that out. But if we come to Christ and submit to Him, if we answer His call, He will take us. He will receive us. And He will help us. In fact, He will cleanse us. Note the second verse. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Take note in this verse as well. The acknowledgement is there that I am coming to be cleansed. I'm not coming because I'm clean. I'm coming to be cleansed. And God doesn't care if I am from the wrong side of the tracks or the right side of the tracks. He doesn't care if I grew up in poverty or riches. He doesn't care if my health is completely wasted and I really can't do a whole lot. What He cares for is, am I willing to submit myself to Him? Will I come to Him? And if I will, I can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." If we come to the Lord, He can cleanse us of all our sin. It doesn't matter how much sin we have in our life. It doesn't matter how long we have been in sin. If we come to the Lord, we can be cleansed completely. You ever had that favorite shirt and you forgot you were wearing it when you started working on something that had oil and grease on it? And when you get through, you look down and you got oil and grease on your arms or on your... Mine usually showed up on the belly, Jimmy. And you say, "Can we get this clean?" And it takes 3 or 4 washings before it starts really fading out. That's not the way Jesus cleanses us. First time, completely white as if nothing had ever been wrong. Jesus can make us clean no matter how dirty we are with sin. But I also want to note, this verse reminds us that we shouldn't waste our time. Don't wait. What does it say? "And waiting not." Paul told the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Of course, he's quoting from God, from the Old Testament Scriptures. Today is the day to be saved. Why? Because we don't know whether we'll have tomorrow or not. God wants us to come and be with Him now. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things..." What things? Well, that's where he tells us about the world coming to an end. About everything we have in this world, the whole universe being burned up at the end of time, and we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth. He says, "Since you are looking for these things, beloved, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless, and blameless." Peter says, since you know what's fixing to happen and you know what condition you are in, get right now. And be urgent about it. "Waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. I come to Jesus, whose blood can cleanse each spot." The blood of Jesus, the blood of His covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26 and verse 28. That's what we remind ourselves of at the memorial each Lord's Day. He shed His blood to cleanse us of our sins. God doesn't care who we are, where we came from, how long it took us to get there. What He cares about is, do I come to Him and submit to His terms to make Him my Lord? Oh Lord, I come. I come. Am I willing to come to Jesus as my Lord? He also calms us. In verse 3, "Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." My brain tells me that somewhere way back yonder, in one of the song books I sang that from, it said, "Fightings within and fears without." But either way, the message is the same. How many of you got up this morning and had absolutely nothing that you were concerned about? Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I stuck my hands in my pockets. We all have things that give us concern. Some days are less than others. Sometimes all we have to really be concerned about is, what am I going to eat for breakfast and what am I going to wear today? But then sometimes it's, well, I got to get these bills paid. Sometimes it's, I don't know how I'm going to get up out of the bed and move because I just can't. Can I make it to my recliner? Sometimes it's, I don't know what my kids have gotten themselves into. And how can I help them get out of it? We all have conflicts. We all have problems. We all have difficulties. In fact, we are filled with such things. And if we are dependent only upon ourselves, we will always be filled with such things. But if we will give ourselves over to Jesus, He can calm those fears. He can help us overcome those conflicts and doubts. Paul told the Galatian brethren, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. We get so caught up in the things of this world and the details that we have to deal with that sometimes we forget that this is only a temporary thing. And no matter what decisions we make here, as long as we're deciding in regards to Jesus and eternity, that decision is going to work out just fine in the long run. I know when I was younger, and still sometimes even today, I get caught up into what's going to happen today and next week. How's things going to be going on tomorrow? I mean, are gas prices going to keep going up? Is the electricity still going to work? And then I'm reminded, these things are only temporary. Yeah, they seem like they're constant. Because for 62 years now, well, I hadn't worried about them most of that part of that time, but for 62 years I've heard concerns about gas prices and electricity bills. And grocery bills. And so they begin to seem like permanent situations. I'm going to have to deal with this. But then I'm reminded, whatever happens here doesn't matter there. As long as I make my decisions and I go about my day preparing for there, today will be all right. Because I will go through today with Jesus. Some of y'all probably noticed the news. There's some fightings going on in multiple places. It's not just Russia and Ukraine. Now it's Israel and the U.S. and Iran. And it's U.S. and Mexico against drug lords. And then there's Pakistan and somebody. I don't remember which one it is they're upset with. But there's conflicts all over. And what I need to remember is, even if I was living there, when I woke up this morning, what mattered is, am I going to serve the Lord? Because anything else is temporary. You see, Jesus, through His Word, through our submission to Him, calms us. He calms our fears. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Romans 8 and verse 37. David understood about letting God remove his failures and his difficulties and calm his mind. Multiple times in the psalm, we have the message of David Lord, help me put my trust in You is the overall idea. Keep me from getting caught up in what's going on with my enemies around me. Give me shelter and comfort and strength. In Psalm 52, I think I got the wrong scriptures on that one. In Psalm 52 and verse 1 and 2, be gracious to me, O God, according to Your loving kindness, according to the greatness of Your compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Yeah, see, those scriptures are here. I'm going to have to start letting my wife proofread my PowerPoints, I guess, so I get everything like it's supposed to be. He calms our fears. David said, let me just put everything in Your hands, Lord, and then it'll all be all right. Let me put my trust, my hope in You. He calms us. Helps us deal with the conflicts and fears of this life. He welcomes us. And I'm going to go ahead and change this so you'll have the right... Nope. I got those two flipped. That's what happened. He welcomes us. Take note. This is the last verse in our song books. Just as I am... thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because Thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Take note of that. Because Thy promise I believe. What is the promise of the Lord? What does God promise us? If we will submit to His will, He will take away our sins. And He will take us to be in heaven when this life is over. We can go home to be with Him. That's His promise. His promise is not, if you'll say that you love me, whether you actually act like it or not, if you'll say that you love me, I'll be nice to you. Or I'll give you what you want here upon this earth. He doesn't say, I will save you if you just tell people that you believe me. His promise is, if you will submit to my word, do my will, you can be cleansed of your sins and be with me for eternity. You know, that's the same promise He made to Israel. It is. If you will submit to my will, I will blot your sins out, and I will give you the promised land. And you will be with me. You will be my people. And I will be your God. He makes that promise to us today. He's promised that He will receive us if we come to Him. When John described Him in John chapter 1 and verse 29, when he saw Jesus coming to him, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's not just my sin. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for every sin. So no matter who you are, Jesus died to pay for your sins. And if you will come to Him and submit yourself to His will, your sins will be gone. He'll redeem you through His blood. In fact, John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but would have eternal life through His name. That's why. Jesus welcomes us. He welcomes us into the fold. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He welcomes us, and he supplies us. This is actually the fourth verse in the poem itself. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come. I come to you in my brokenness, Lord. A wretched sight, blind, poor, naked, without hope. I come to you and I submit myself to you as Lord, and I know that everything I need, you will provide. Sight, riches, healing of the mind, calming. We've talked about most of these things already in some manner or another. He supplies all that we need. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost, Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Come to me and take my yoke. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, Jesus said, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. And when I was reading that again yesterday evening, shortly after I'd read in our lesson in Isaiah, it sounded a whole lot like what God said to Babylon. You got so full of yourself, thinking you were it, and didn't stop and think about what you were actually doing. And now you're going to have to suffer for it. Jesus says if we will stop and think about who we are, where we are, what we need, and come to Him, submit ourselves to Him, He can provide all that we need. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it never fails to come to my mind that the things He says don't worry about are food, clothing, and shelter. The very necessities of life. God says, if you will put your focus upon serving me first and foremost, everything else will fall into place. Because we will recognize the grand scheme of things is not here and now, but hereafter. As we made mention already, all of this is because He loves us. The sixth verse of this poem that we don't have in our books, just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now, to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. And I think maybe this, leaving this verse off, is where some of our hymn arrangers have missed part of the message of this song. Because what this verse tells us, that certainly the love of God has destroyed all our barriers, but notice, in you, now to be thine. How do we become His? Well, it's not just by walking up to Him and saying, hey, I want to join you. It's by submitting to the regulations, the prerequisites, you might say, the rules Because we don't like to hear the word commandments. The commandments He's given us. That's how we become His. We submit to His will. God's love has gotten rid of anything that might make it impossible for us to come to Him. He provides, He calls, He cleanses, He seeks to help us. He doesn't care what family we came from. It's no longer dependent upon whether we are children of Abraham or children of Lot. We don't have to be sons of Jacob. We can be sons of Esau, to use some of the Old Testament rivalries. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, I like that old, that King James word, whosoever, not just whoever, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, beginning, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." The Hebrew writer says, you can have confidence to walk right up to the Lord. We can come into His presence. And we know that He will take us if we will submit ourselves to His rules and His regulations, to His commands, if we will obey His will. Submit therefore to God, James tells us. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God's love has removed all the barriers. We can come to Him with full assurance that He will take us in if we are willing to submit to His will. A few years back, we were visiting at some congregation or at a song service or something somewhere, and they posted, they had them up on the screen, I think, and the title was, "Just As I Am, I Come Broken." I thought, I don't know that song. And they started singing it. Wait, I do know that song. But at the end of each verse, an a cappella group of some sort or another, and if you want, I can show you where all the copyrights are with whoever holds it, but anyway, added this part. "I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am." I like to remember the majority of what they have added there, because it emphasizes once again that we don't come to God because we are changed. We turn to Christ so that we will be changed. Way back many years ago, I was talking to my cousin, and as far as I know, and I think if he had, I would have known by now, he's never obeyed the gospel. But I was talking to him about it. And he said, "I've done too many things, and I got too many bad habits that I would have to quit before I could become a Christian. Now, I recognize that when we see that we're doing things that are not in accordance with the will of God, we need to set our minds to change. That's part of what repentance is. And we need to follow through with that. We need to turn from those things. But God does not expect us to be perfect before we come to Him. We come to Him so we can be perfect. And if we will submit ourselves to His will, and we will be diligent in following that will, all of those things that we have going on in our life that we might think are keeping us from coming to Jesus, we'll work on them. We'll eat away at them just a little bit at a time until finally they're no longer a burden we have to carry. But we're able to do that because we quit working by ourselves and we started letting God work through us. And I think that's a part of our relationship with God and our coming to God that we sometimes don't acknowledge, don't keep close in our hearts. Yes, coming to God requires submitting to His will, but recognize God wants you to come so you can be changed. Let Him change you. And let me tell you this, brothers and sisters in Christ, some of us have been Christians for decades. There's probably a few in here that could count half a century. That's only 50 years, by the way. Of serving the Lord. Let me tell you, you and I still need to let God change us. We're not done yet. If I were to ask for a show of hands of who's been perfect, I'd have to sit on my hands to make sure I didn't accidentally raise a finger. And most all of us would. We recognize we're not perfect. But in Christ, we can be. Because He will help us overcome our wrongs. And we can continue to struggle. We can continue to work on those things. We can be diligent in serving the will of God while we walk here upon this earth. And when our life here on earth is done, if we belong to God, if we answer His call to come, let me change you. And we remain diligent in that. When our life on earth is finished, we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of thy Lord." And whatever we had to deal with here upon this earth, we won't care. We won't sit back and think, "Well, I wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd have done that. I should have been better at this. I shouldn't have been so bad at that." We will rejoice and praise God because we are with Him for eternity. And we will join with the angels and the elders and sing praise around His throne for all eternity. What's going on in my life right now? There's only one real solution. Come to Jesus and let Him help me with it. Submit myself to His will. Be obedient to what He has commanded. And as John says, His commands are not difficult. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He died on Calvary's cross and paid the price for your sins and for mine, as we mentioned multiple times this morning, you can be cleansed of those things. Your sins can be washed away. He's paid the price. Come to Him, confess your wrongs, seek forgiveness, and begin changing yourself. And you can be buried in the waters of baptism and rise up out of that watery grave, a new creature, buried with Christ, putting to death the old man, and raised with Christ, the new creature who belongs to God. Then your responsibility is to walk the straight and narrow way. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Follow the footsteps of Jesus. live in accordance with His will, and you can be in heaven when this life is over. If you've taken those steps in the past and you recognize that you have strayed from that straight and narrow path, we urge you to correct that. God is not taking you in so that you can keep doing whatever you want to do. He's taking you in so that you can serve Him. And if you failed in serving Him, you need to straighten that out. You need to come to Him and ask Him to forgive. And as John tells us, He will. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Come to Jesus. He calls us. And if we can assist you with answering that call, why not come while we stand and sing for encouragement?